welcome to the Big Four Transparency Podcast. For this episode, I'm joined by Kendale King, founder of CPAcon and KCK CPA. Welcome to the pod, Kendale.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you, Dom.
Yeah, my pleasure. So you are like fresh on the heels of hosting the first ever CPAcon. It's a conference that you threw last week. It was the first kind of edition of it. Yep. So I'm curious to hear from you how that went, what attendance looked like, and maybe what motivated you to try this out.
Got it. Okay, well, let's start with what motivated me. I am a huge gamer. I say this all the time. I'm competitive on every level. You know, you can play tic-tac-toe and I'm on it. You know, and so I always love that competitiveness. And and then also run a convention, an anime gaming culture entertainment convention called DreamCon. And so I have experience doing an event, you know, and I just was really interested in like seeing what that could look like in the accounting space, because we just have a, you know, this whole moniker that we are not fun, that we are boring, that we just, you know, it's just things that I think that we tell ourselves. And I think it's things that we're showing other folks that we can't do certain things when I don't think, you know, that's necessarily the limitations that we need to abide by. And so I was watching the Super Bowl and the NBA All-Star Weekend. I just thought to myself, why don't accounting have something like this? And that's where the initial motivation of it came from. Created some of the games and, you know, then, you know, took it from there. It was last week, on the third. So it was like a week or so ago. A week ago. And, you know, I got a big vision. And so the original vision of it was way bigger than, you know, what actually happened. But obviously it's a first year event. And the goal this year was to get a great proof of concept to let people know that this is possible, that this is something that can, you know, really, you know, be a staying power in the accounting space, and to prove that it can really help with attracting and retaining, you know, people who are interested in the accounting profession. So we had I'm still going through everything because we had different ways that you can access and register, but we had about 95 people who registered. And, you know, those people came throughout the day. We did a long day. It was a very long day to use of the space that we had. And again, trying to really get that proof of concept to show the different things that we, you know, could do there. So, you know, throughout the day we had performances. So, you know, from actual dancers, and we had a fire lady as well, just to kind of set the mood different. We had a DJ, again, just to be, you know, just have that different feel. Like, that was a big important thing for me, was to make sure that it didn't like really resonate as a conference that, you know, someone's been to before. So, you know, didn't want to do it in a hotel, didn't want to, you know, replicate things that a lot of other conferences do. And so I knew, you know, we did it in a church actually, which is actually interesting, but it was like a new age type of church where it's like, it was cool and all the, you know, had a nice little LED screen and everything. But we started at 8 and didn't end till like 7. And so it was like, again, performances, we had our games, we had panels. And, you know, it was really good. You know, people were really engaged. I was actually surprised that, you know, a handful of people actually stayed the whole way through. And it was, you know, with traffic in LA and everything as well. So it was horrible. So, but it was nice. It was nice.
That's cool, man. No, I love that you're taking like a big swing on something like this. Like, you know, I think as a general population, a lot of accountants are kind of known for being risk averse and things like that. And I think that in you know, pools of people like that, I think it can be rewarded even more if you're the one who's taking those risks, who's, you know, taking that big swing and trying something new. So no, I'm really happy to see that you kind of you know, tried something new, and it sounds like it was a good enough success. You know, we spoke about it, that there will be an encore for 2025 by the sounds of it, and that's great. So I've spoken with people who've hosted conferences before, and for the record, it seems incredibly difficult to pull off. Yeah. And a lot of people say like, it's really like the first year is very tough. And then it just kind of gets gradually better year over year as you build up brand and reputation and stuff. Yep. So hats off to you on that.
Thank you. Now that was a huge thing too, you know, the brand and reputation, because a lot of people didn't know me from nothing, you know? And so it was important for me to lean on, you know, already established brands such as CalCPA, you know, California Board of Accountancy, and other professionals I had in my network who did know me, who did understand, you know, kind of what I bring to the table and had the trust and had the support, you know, that wanted to support me. But yeah, that was a big thing. And now that, you know, we did it, and honestly, all I've seen is really, you know, obviously there's some things, you know, that we need to work on and to be better for sure. But as far as, you know, feedback from, you know, people who went, it's only been positive.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you worked with CalCPA and then the Board of Accountancy. Mm-hmm. How does one make that work? So like, even for myself personally, right? Like I find a lot of the kind of like professional bodies, I don't know about those two specifically, but like they're a little bit like, or can be anyways, like stuck in their ways, like not yep. super willing to like adapt, try new things.
Yep.
So what does that look like in terms of like collaborating with them?
I think to your point, as a whole across, you know, generally across the industry, that is the case. And I ran up against that when I was, you know, speaking with certain companies and brands who I was looking to partner with. You know, but for CalCPA and the California Board of Accountancy, they were different. They were, you know, CalCPA is just like really focused on trying to prepare for this next wave of accounting, you know, phase of, you know, professional accounting looks like. And so when I brought the, you know, because I'm on the board of LA, the LA chapter, and I brought it up there first. And then I was able to get a conversation with Denise Fremming, who's the president of CalCPA. And she's like, yes, this sounds cool. Sounds great. You're way cooler than me. So you can do this with everything, anything you need. You got it. And then by way of that, was able to get introduced to the folks at the CBA. And again, just, you know, kind of given the same, you know, pitch, and they also saying, hey, actually, this is great. I think there obviously was a little bit of hesitation as far as superly putting it out there and superly backing it up. And it was also to credit to them, is like, I, you know, was really making this happen this year. So the planning, from the creation of the idea to the actual execution, was really when they kind of got in. I think I really kind of told them about this in June. And then they didn't really get on board, or like, you know, we weren't on the same page, as far as like getting the final details to like, I don't know, like July or August or something. So they were worried. They were like, can this even be done in this time frame? And I was like, nah, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. You know, I got a team. Like, it's not like I'm not asking you to put it together. I'm not asking. I'm just asking for your support. Send it off to the members, you know, and everything like that. And so I do think that there was still some like, oh, can this be done in this time frame? And you know, and bless their heart, they were like, you know, it's okay if we move it. It's okay. No one's going to be, you know, feel any type of way about it. I'm like, no, this is happening. And it was, again, really necessary for me, because as I was having these conversations more and more, I realized I need something to show people, mm-hmm. you know, because I can speak to all day about this, but until people actually experience it, and until people actually can visually see it, you know, that's the turning point. So now that we have that, you know, I'm gonna be using that going forward to do further ones. But yeah, it was actually pretty cool, you know, once you connect with the right people who are looking for that change. And again, for the people who are a little stuck in their ways, that's where the visuals help.
Yeah. No, and it's impressive that you did pull it off on the timeline you did, right? Because I feel like you spoke to me in like October or something, and it seemed like some things were up in the air, and I was like, hey, like, is this like a fire festival situation? Like, I don't know if I want to be like the guy pushing this super hard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I kind of like started paying more attention to you, what you were saying and what you stood for, and kind of came around and I was like, all right, you know what? Like, I really like what this guy's doing, at least, and what, you know, what you kind of speak about and what you kind of represent in terms of like challenging the status quo. And that's where I kind of came around. But yeah, on the timelines and stuff, I was like, oh, so yeah, it's good to hear you pulled it off. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, people were just like, wow, this is insane. Like, you sure? I'm like, it can be done. It can be done. It was some last minute pivots. I ain't gonna lie to you. I had a bigger vision and a bigger thing. I was like, all right, let's come back down to what we can do. And you know, let's focus on that. And so, you know, we made a lot of different pivots, but I'm the guy that, you know, you get the ball to in the last seconds of the game, you know, cause that's when I come alive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked a lot, pardon me. You talked a lot about these challenges and like the accounting Olympics being kind of a thing that was a part of CPAcon. Yeah. I'm curious to hear, like, what was that all about? Like, what did that look like in practice? What were you hoping to kind of like achieve with that in terms of like the, you know, the attendees experience as well?
Yep. So that was the foundation of what CPAcon, you know, was really about and for. I knew obviously I wanted to still have the panels, you know, still wanted to have we're getting all these people together. I still want to be able to give them some solid information. I don't want this to only be about fun and people feeling like, you know, is this just, I'm just wasting my time or something, or I'm just having fun or whatever. And so I knew I wanted to have the panels, but the foundation of this, you know, was to, again, create a sense of fun, create a sense of competition, and pride as a, you know, as an accountant, you know. And so with the games themselves, we played four different games, you know, last week. The first game is what I call Post-It, and it's kind of similar to like a game show where, you know, you get a scenario and you get three journal entries. They could all be correct, they could all be wrong, or a mix of the two. And each team, you know, the team who's going has a certain amount of time to determine, you know, if it's all good, if they're good with it after making their changes or no changes at all. And they say post it. And then that, you know, essentially goes into review. So it goes over to the other teams like, hey, team, you're good. Do you want to see about potentially, you know, stealing this? Or do you think you think they're right or wrong? And so after that, then, you know, we determine, all right, you are correct or you were incorrect because of X and Y. And so it was actually pretty interesting because we had situations where they were correct, situations where they weren't correct. And it was like a lot of back and forth. And like, it was really interesting because they were, you know, had people had different opinions, and it's like, well, no, this is why, this is this. And it was like, oh, okay. But it was good because they were literally going back and forth. They really engaged with it. After that, we did the Ledger Labyrinth, which is us creating a maze essentially in the building. We used Pipe and Drape this year. And so really it's just people navigating through it. The whole team had to navigate through the maze first, come back to, you know, back to me on the stage to get an answer, to get a question. Once they answer the question, the answers to those questions let them know what they needed to go back into the maze to get. So in the maze, there were, you know, three different sheets of paper, essentially, which is like, it was BS, you know, CFS and IS. Obviously, you know, a more seasoned person knows that those are financial statements, right? And so, but most times people just kind of try to go through the maze as fast as they can, right? Because it's a speed thing. But yeah, if you don't really pay attention to what's in there, you know, once you get back and do the questions, you know, for example, I asked questions that alluded to the balance sheet, or asked questions that alluded to this, you know, cash flow statement. So if you weren't paying attention, you'd be like, wait, what does this even mean? But then people did pay attention and they went back in, grabbed the right sheet, brought it back. And, you know, that was the way that they, you know, won. And then we did the balance sheet game, which is answering a several different questions. And you get a random a value, and then you have to place that value on a blank balance sheet and build up the best balance sheet you can. Obviously has to balance and has to be, you know, in the right normal normal balances for each of the accounts. And the team who, you know, the person who created the best balance sheet, you know, wins. And then after that, we did the CPA exam showdown, which is kind of like a do you want to be a millionaire-esque type of feel, where we're just asking questions after question. But in this case, you won't know if you answered the question correctly or not, similar like the CPA exam, until the end. And as you answer the questions, it's either gets easier or harder, depending on, you know, your answer. But again, you won't know. You won't actually know until you might say, this feels like a harder question, or this feels like an easier question, but you won't actually know until the end. So, yeah. So those were the games that we played. Cool. They were really engaged and interactive. And, you know, it was fun to see people, you know, play the games and be so, you know, involved with it. Cause these games have been in my head for a year, basically. Yeah. Right. And now seeing them in life and people enjoying it was really, really cool.
That's awesome. And like for the panel, what were some of the kind of like main, you know, topics or areas that it was focused on?
Yep. So we talked about the big thing for me. I wanted to show that there are more paths that you can take in accounting other than, you know, what we usually hear in college, which is, you know, go into Big Four, do audit, do tax or advisory. It's very, you know, general. And so I wanted to make sure that we were exposing people to the different pathways that, you know, that people can take. So the very first panel of the day was a panel that we just called Careers in Accounting. And we had about, six people, I think, on the panel, including me, who had all different paths that they took. And it was really just going one by one in getting their experiences and what they do. You know, so we had, you know, a Corey, you know, who's the, you know, he's a VP over at Kaiser Permanente, has been a chair at AICPA. You know, he's been basically, you know, the company man that's been in, you know, and stayed the test of time at companies. And then you have other people, Alejandra, who was, you know, wasn't in, you know, she just like, this ain't for me. I need to start my own thing, and went to self-employed. And, you know, use her accounting background and finance background to create a company where she's helping startups and helping people exit businesses and stuff like that. And so the whole point of that was to show that getting a career in accounting, getting a degree in accounting and starting your career there, you might start at a certain place, but here's all the different opportunities that, you know, and different paths that you can potentially take. And so we had that panel. Cal CPA did a career readiness panel to help people with, you know, interviews. We had an offshoring conversation. We had a conversation specifically for, you know, because I focus on entertainment. So we had a Hollywood accounting panel where we talked about how accountants and, you know, can be like where their positions are in Hollywood and how we can support going forward. We had a wealth panel, you know, just talking about, you know, with the lawyer and a financial planner and advisor and everybody like that, just to talk about building wealth. We had a panel about AI and blockchain and how that is redefining what we're doing in accounting. We had a conversation about tax planning as well, since that's a huge topic and a lot of what people are kind of shifting to as well. So those were the panels we, you know, we had for that day.
That's cool. And you were able to get all that counted as CPE, right? And like, what does that look like to register to be able to like get stuff as CPE? What's involved there?
Yeah. So, you know, you have to go through the, you know, the NASBA to get sponsorship, you know, to be a sponsor to provide CPE. You can do several different methods you can take. The actual games themselves, you know, because I still want to kind of get that, you know, through and get them okay with it, we didn't give actual CPE for the games themselves, but it was for the panel. So, you know, with that being done, you know, you just need to have a you know, somebody on the panel who's putting together the panel who has sufficient knowledge in whatever you're talking about. And so, for example, tax planning panel, we had, you know, me as a CPA who do taxes, but we also had Jackie Meyer, who is huge in the, you know, tax, you know, planning space, with Tax Plan IQ. We also had an enrolled agent, Jasmine, who's a colleague of mine, friend and colleague of mine, who, you know, can speak to it. And so you have all those individuals who are, you know, qualified to speak to it. It has to be a certain amount of time. And, you know, with us, you know, I just also make sure to follow it up with a poll, just to make sure that, you know, obviously people were there, but, you know, make sure people were engaged as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you mentioned the Hollywood accounting thing too, this is a little bit off topic from CPAcon, but I'm really curious to know, like, how do you kind of choose that niche? I guess you do like sort of like entertainers and kind of people in the crypto space. I used to have a small book of business in the crypto space. I actually like sold it. And I'm like not involved in that anymore, but I found it interesting in terms of like the clientele and stuff. So I'm curious, why you pick those niches and like what's really like unique about it.
Well, the thing is, as I tell everybody who asks me about like what they want to, what is the right niche or what should I do in accounting, I just really have a passion and enjoyment for entertainment. So I like TV shows, I like, you know, gaming, I like films, and so I just knew that in order for me to have a long lasting career in accounting, which is more of a gift, and I actually like accounting too. Like I can debate some accounting, literature, you know, for real. I am a nerd in that sense. But I also knew I needed to align that with the passions that I had, which was the entertainment space. And so, that was just a for sure necessity for me. And so after, you know, I started with Deloitte. When I first started, but, you know, I was, you know, once I got to a place, I was like, all right, now I need to get over into entertainment and move out to LA. That's when I made that change. So I knew I wanted to be in entertainment because of my passion. And then with crypto, I just, you know, it's interesting to me and I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be that person that's just like, oh, we're not updating with the times type thing and you get left behind. So, you know, that was like, let me make sure that I'm positioning myself to be an expert in this space. And it was just provided a great opportunity for people since it was such a new industry. It was a way for me to be able to really get in, differentiate myself and become, you know, a top of the industry with it.
Yeah, there's a period of time where a lot of like the big firms like didn't want to touch that. Right. So like I found myself like when I left Deloitte, so also alumni there. I had been on like the kind of like crypto tax teams at Deloitte. And so I left and I had all this like very, very up-to-date knowledge, but like nobody was dealing with like the kind of like smaller people. And so, yeah, I like ended up becoming like the tax guy for a lot of like the Bored Ape Yacht Club in Canada. I did that kind of on the side for a few years and it was like tremendously good side income for what it was. Yeah. But it's interesting operating in an area with like less certainty and, you know, where you have to actually like really use your head.
And that's for me. I like that. Like, I don't care to, you know, just follow the steps. Like, all right. You know, for me, I like helping to build something up and knowing that I have some impact. And so if it's already structured, if it's already like, you know, you just need to apply lesson one to this. Like, I don't know. Like, give me something more. Let me be a part of the, you know, the creation or the, you know, the growth and the scaling of this, you know, so that's why I enjoy it because I'm able to have that impact.
That's awesome. I love that. So yeah, like circling back on to CPAcon, I'm curious to hear, what do you think is like the biggest thing that you will change or like want to adapt for 2025?
I really want to, again, just to rehash it, that this was definitely a proof of concept and it was to make sure to use the most of our time. I think in the next year, we want to make sure that it is multi-day, utilizing more than just the one day that we had, because 12 hours is, you know, quite a bit. And I was literally the host, the game master, the moderator, and so it was quite a bit, you know. I was, you know, and I talk a lot, but like that was a lot. And so, you know, having it multi-days is, you know, one thing that's a goal. I mean, that was the initial goal, but again, we had to make some changes. So definitely multi-day. Another big one is that would love to get more support and buy-in from firms, because with the Accounting Olympics themselves, like the goal is to get firms to you know, submit teams. So like not too different from when you look at, think about the Olympics and you got different countries who are submitting their, you know, their teams to compete in the different games. You know, the goal here is to get firms to submit their teams for the different games. And, you know, the goal is to now create the top, you know, accounting or top of firms list more than just from people who are generating the most money, but now also, you know, putting it to an actual test of wits and actual skill and knowledge. And like we can create a new list of people. And this might give people, the smaller firms, a chance to be, you know, in the top, you know, now, because it's not about how much money you're generating. This is just about, you know, how well you know your craft and how well you can, you know, perform in a environment, you know, like this. And with this as well, you know, we'll have obviously students partaking in it. And I think that this will be a great way for, you know, people who are recruiting to be able to, you know, see the talent as they come up and see them in these particular situations. The goal is to provide, like, you know, reports on people, how they, you know, how well they did and everything. And so that should, you know, the goal is to be able to funnel that into, you know, the firms. And so then they'll be like, oh, okay, you know, this person did very, very good. And, you know, they, you know, hit off on these markers, that they would definitely be a fit for us, you know, and, you know, they can see that, you know, firsthand. And I think starting at that level, and that's how you meet your talent and your, you know, people you're recruiting, and you keep that trend throughout. I think that helps with obviously the recruiting, but also the retention, because you met them having fun, and you know, you just continue that mindset, and you continue that, you know, that culture throughout. That would, you know, and that camaraderie, right? Like a lot of people, sports teams are like dedicated, you know. So it would love to see that type of level of dedication with firms and their employees. And so this is a way, in my opinion, where, you know, we can really foster some of that, like, hard, you know, earned dedication by, you know, having the firms interact. So that's one of the biggest things for sure, is to getting more of that in. And then I think, you know, obviously doing the panels is what is going to happen. But I think that's the biggest thing, if I had to say anything.
Nice. And then what's your pitch for, like, the person who's already got a job, like who's a CPA? Like, why do they need to be going to conferences and stuff? I definitely have my own ideas about that, but I'm curious to hear what you think.
I think that, and this is more than just beyond CPAcon, right? Just any conference as a whole. I think that I love working from home. I love, you know, controlling my schedule and everything, but I will definitely be, you know, one of the first people to say that having a connection with other people is huge. Building your network is huge, and just going to live events and meeting people in person and building a group of you know, fellow accountants and financial professionals that, you know, you can jive with and, like, you can vibe with, like, that is, you know, I think very undervalued and underscored in the industry. And so that's why I think conferences in general are important to, you know, to really do that. Now, you know, we one up it with CPAcon by actually making it fun, because I've had a lot of, you know, people who tell me that they just go to conferences. They don't really care about the actual conference. They just come to meet their people and they go off to the side and everything like that. But now if we create something where you don't have to just do that, you can actually engage in what we're doing and still have fun and still connect and everything like that is the goal. You can compete and have, again, have a sense of honor and a sense of, you know, pride at the end of the day. Like, one of the conversations we've had during CPAcon was that the CPA license, while it was hard, you know, and hard earned, is usually looked at as a badge of trauma, you know, it's like a bonding thing of trauma, when it should be a badge of honor. You know, it should be a sense of, like, you know, I took a CPA. I am a CPA. I passed this test that most people don't pass. I'm now in the ranking elites of, you know, financial professionals, but it's not really looked at it like that. You know, it's just like, oh, you did it. Now, you know, it's like you're about to, yeah. You know, it's like you people, we share more of our trauma with each other instead of the fact that, you know, we just, we cut from another cloth. Like maybe that when you pass that exam, that good, oh, I passed it and now I got my license and everything. Like it lasts for a very short amount of time. And then, you know, it just kind of wanes away. And I think that, you know, we need to do a better job in general of making it more, how would I say, impactful and valuable at the end of the day to us and not just to our clients. And I think, again, conferences that's including these competitions and these funds are going to be in the fun that we have, that we're having, and the competitiveness and the, and again, the pride, I think is going to be the thing.
Yeah, that's a thought that we share. I definitely also think that there's a lot of, yeah, it's like trauma bonding, talking about the negatives and whatnot, but it's like we need a little bit more pride in the profession and stuff, and more like wearing it a bit more like a badge of honor. And the other point that I kind of find about like these conferences and stuff, and my experience at the Big Four, for example, at Deloitte, like they got incredible resources and stuff like that. But like what ends up happening is you end up kind of like siloed. Mm-hmm. And you really don't get exposed to like what else is out there in the world, what else is out there in the industry, like fresh ideas, what's actually going on in the industry at large. It really just becomes like Deloitte, 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 or whatever firm you're at. And I think that extends way beyond the Big Four. Like, I feel like that's like probably a top 100 firm thing, where like they're so expansive and they have all these internal resources, which again, super valuable, great. But like you know, the burden's on you to go and expose yourself to what's going on in the actual like real world and in the industry. Yep. And if you're not going to any of these things, you're just not going to have that diversity of ideas. So I think,
and to your point, the firms right now, it feels like they don't care. It's like, as long as you're getting your work done, that we don't really care. And then, you know, I've talked about this about CPE as well. It's just like, you know, as a whole, the firms don't necessarily, you know, push the importance of CPE. Is just more of a, it got to get done, you know, so do it, but do it on your own time. Don't do it on our time. And so I think that we just need to have a change of the CPE mindset as well, so that, you know, we are constantly looking to continue to develop. You know, we're going to these places where we're, you know, networking and, you know, again, like you said, being exposed and everything. And I think, again, you know, that firm, I would say loyalty would shine even further through if you put that up against other people, right? Like, it, you know, if we were going to, you know, I was, you know, back in college, right? You know, we were put into dorms. You know, I went to Morehouse College and we had different dorms, and we would, our dorms had like step teams and stuff like that. So not an actual, you know, fraternity or nothing like that, but we would, you know, rep our actual dorm. You know, it's just literally just where we, you know, stayed, you know, that was it. But we would rep it, you know, we would go to the different events and like, yeah, we in here, you know? And just having that sort of loyalty and that sort of, alignment with where you work and where you spend most of your time, I think that's important. I think that is a huge thing that we really need to push, because more times than not, we just look at work as being some place that you get drained, some place where, you know, you're just giving up your life and, you know, you just need it because you need to make money. And, you know, I think that we really need to make that change.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Kendale. I really support what it is you do, what you stand for with what you're trying to bring forward here in the industry. So I'll definitely stay tuned on what you're up to. I recommend people give you a follow, check out what you're up to as well. And thanks a ton for doing this.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate you.